The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Oh my God, the next time I finish making love to my boyfriend, I'm just going to lean over and whisper into his ear, "You've been homosexualized." Gloria.
Tom, Cecil, Chicken Triple from Holy Crap the Vlogcast. I have a request. Don't ever, ever stop ragging on Indiana. Not only do they deserve it, but they deserve it more than anybody else because they gave us freaking Mike Pence. Enjoy! And, Laurel.
Aloha, guys. It's Rob from Hawaii again. I forgot to mention on the last call, I was listening to your last episode about the movies that we used to watch as a kid, and Cecil is right, Big Trouble in Little China is one of the best movies of all time. But also, from our childhood, everybody seems to want to suck Goonies' dick, and fuck that movie. Monster Squad is a far superior version of that movie. I know it came out after, but whatever. Sometimes the copy is better than the original. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out, check out Monster Squad. It's a fucking awesome movie. And glory hole.
Hey, Tom, just letting you know that we already are living in a fucking profitocracy. It's just you're using the wrong spelling of profit. Glory hole.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 427 of Cognitive Dissonance.
Q's hit it big, Tom.
This is it. This is
Q has hit it big. This is Q's coming out party.
I was going to say, this is like his quinceañera, right?
his Q-signera.
Huh? Yeah? You're picking up what I'm throwing down,
do
Cecil.
I love it. I love a good
He's going to come down like a flight of steps in a fancy gown.
Oh, be adorable.
Back heel.
I think that's a little sexist on your part. How do you know it's a he? It's anonymous. Thank you very much.
That's actually a good point. Yeah. And I'm not sure. But this is some stupid shit.
It is some stupid shit.
Like, this is guy stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, remember when you were like a teenager and you were just pranking people to fuck with people and like vandalizing shit is the same thing.
Are you old enough to have been in chat rooms? Like actual chat? Like,
I'm old enough, but I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
I didn't chat. Yeah.
I had friends that would come over to my house because we had AOL back in the day. And I had friends that would come over to my house and they would pretend they were girls in the chat room. We would make a specific username.
Sure, yeah, right.
That would be the thing. And they would pretend they're
Stacy
girls.
Loves exactly. Cock or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
69, 69, 69, 69, 69, 69. I'm a girl. but like, seriously, like they would pretend. They would spend that time.
They'd catfish. It's the earliest catfishing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They would try.
It's chatfishing.
But yeah, they would
chat.
they would spend their time trying to do that, and they would try to you know, troll people back before there was even a term for it.
Sure.
And I think that that sort of thing has gone on since the birth of the internet. But the problem is that what's happening with this Q thing is that it feels like these people have been transported from another time into now. And they're just like, do you know there's a thing called the internet and people have information about very secret stuff that they just give away?
You know what, man? It feels like they have not, they're not jaded and cynical about the content available online.
Right.
To the point where like the rest of us look at the online world and we're like, nothing online is believable ever. I don't care if your mom posted it and it is a picture of you she took with you. It's probably bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Like there is a level of like incredulity that should be applied to anything that you find online and be like, I automatically don't believe it. You've got to cross a pretty high bar for me to get to it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's these guys who are like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I think girls like to get fucked in the ass, then the mouth. Yeah. Like, just the internet is teaching you all the wrong lessons.
One time on a place, a little place I like to call porn. there's a lot of, it feels like they're like Rip Van Winkle. Like they just woke up.
Yeah.
And they're like, what year is it?
They do seem like they want to tell you like a big, like, did you know that you can use your computer? Hold on a minute, guys. Let's go to the parking garage. This is better for the parking garage.
From the phones.
First of all, your phone is a computer. Zip it. Okay. Yeah. But you can go onto the internet and you can talk to people who know all the secrets of the stuff. And you're just like, come the fuck on. But yeah, like they seem like that level of like, unsophisticated.
Yeah, it's totally true. There's a story, and this is the story from Washington Post, and they went to a Trump rally.
Yeah,
and
because we're still having those. By the way, 2 years in,
I saw an article from someone, I forget who it was, where they had said basically like, let's stop treating these like news.
Yeah, I saw the same
thing.
These
aren't news. This isn't a news thing. There's nothing newsworthy about it. It's the same fucking press conference or whatever. Not press conference. It's the same rally he's given.
Do you think this sets a precedent? A presidential precedent, though? Where like presidents are now... Because like I was reading that same thing, right? Where it's like we're 2 years into the administration and we're having rallies. What the fuck are we rallying around?
Yeah.
Like this is a... Now we've entered a place like where... We were always in a place where before an election cycle, you would take a break from the business of governance and you would spend a good year trying to get reelected, right? Yeah. So you worked for 3 years, then really year three, four was your ass trying to get reelected.
Yeah.
Now your job after you get the job is to get the job again.
And
your whole job is getting the job.
Do you think though? I mean, like what I think when I think about Trump, I think unbelievable narcissist. So I think that there's...
But I think that's just the reason he wants the job in the first place.
No, I mean, I think that's the reason for the rallies. It's because he wants to feel like people are cheering for him all the time.
No, I totally agree. And I think the extension of that is like the only reason he even wants to be president is that narcissism,
right?
And like the idea of losing would be so damaging to his personal worldview that like you've got to just stump every day.
Yeah.
Like the guy doesn't hold... Like Sarah Huckabee Sanders... Yeah, prior administrations held press conferences, daily press briefings. And this administration holds once in a while press briefings. They'll go weeks sometimes without a press brief.
Sure.
This is an intensely untransparent government.
Absolutely. And then the presidents before would have press conferences themselves. And he just doesn't do it.
Probably because he's fucking terrible at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like, let's pause and think about that because George W. Bush gave press conferences. Yeah. That guy could barely read.
It was so hard for Cheney to stick his hand up his back the whole time.
He had a stick to move his head back and forth.
Admittedly, there's no other president that looks as much like Howdy Doody.
I will say, like, the other night we were talking about the incident with during the Trump inauguration where W couldn't put the poncho on. And we watched that video again of that sad, shitty old man trying to work a piece of plastic.
Figure it out,
And it's like, It's like, oh, you scamp. You got us into two wars that we didn't need to get into on false pretenses. And I thought you were going to go down in history as the worst president. And now you seem adorably dementia cute.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of love you.
You want to have him look the other way and steal his cup of peaches?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, yeah. It's like his crimes against humanity, though they be numerous, now seem quaint.
Yeah.
You silly guy.
I want to roll it back to Q here for a second, because there's a interview that I saw with these Q people, right? These people. So they show up. We've been talking about Q for maybe three months.
Yeah.
We found out about it through Liz Croken, who is she's got a finger on the pulse of the nation here. And we've actually had Q discussions and tapes and stuff played on the show. We've even cut a couple of these from the show because they're just not interesting, right? Like, you get to the point where you're just like, this is such made up bullshit. There's nothing I can say to make this funny. There's nothing I can, it's not interesting or funny.
This is the new version of the Masons Run the World.
You would think it would be funny. You're like, man, there's got to be fucking mad jokes in there. But you're just like, at a certain point, you're just like, yeah, none of this has ever happened. Of all the things that never happened, this never happened the most.
Right. Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
That's it.
This did not occur so hard.
Exactly.
So hard.
So hard. Well, this fucking, like, they're interviewing some of these people and they have like images of these people in the audience. And I just want to point out, we're looking at this elderly couple. She has on a American flag hat and they both have shirts and the shirts have a big giant Q on it. And then an inexplicable YouTube logo in the center. Like, how weird is it to wear like a YouTube shirt? That's like wearing a 3M shirt. Like,
yeah, right.
Like,
do you know what I endorse? Yeah. YouTube. Yeah.
It's like wearing a Prudential shirt.
Like, yeah, I really like what Prudential does with my insurance.
It would be weird. It'd be like swag and wear it.
Wearing like a shirt just says radio.
Yeah.
It's just a medium.
It's just a medium.
It's just like
podcasting.
Like, I enjoy viewershipping. Yeah. What the fuck does that even,
But you look at these people.
I try not to, because look at these people.
You think, that's a person who just learned how computers work. Very recently.
These are people who barely seem to know how t-shirts work. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And we were talking earlier, Tom. We were saying to each other earlier, I said, have these people who clearly, are they easily duped? Are they dumb? Are they, I don't know enough about them to make this.
Do I have to pick or can we have a...
I think they can be all of the above. But you know, like, I don't know who these people are, but I know what they believe.
Yeah, right.
And so from that, I can extrapolate a little bit of information about them. And the information isn't good because some of the stuff that they think is true is so outrageous that you just shake your head and say, no, who could possibly believe this? But we were talking earlier and I said, these people have had to always exist. Like this person who is very, very gullible and easily swayed and totally latches onto the one thing that proves their worldview or makes sense of part of their worldview.
Yeah.
They exist.
Right. Yeah. These guys are like yarn hunters,
and they've always existed.
Yes.
But before the internet, they didn't have any other way to talk to other yarn hunters.
Yep. They like these guys, like before they were in their basement, they were muttering to themselves. They had all the thumbtacks and the yarn and they were weaving together the connections between Chobani yogurt and a pizza place and
gay frogs.
Yeah. Because those are all real things, by the way, that people have now connected because kill yourself.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
why.
Exactly. Yeah.
But like, before those people were isolated as the fucking crazy people they were. And now this is like the incel. We were talking about this before. It's like the incel thing, right? Like
those people always existed and they wouldn't
but
say
they didn't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But now they can connect to each other and they can band together and they can actually
foment
an impact,
that rage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and magnify
that insanity.
Everything gets magnified.
And like, then, one thing like that these community, these online community groups do really, really, really well is they build insulation around themselves. And they just continuously support these ideas so that all that they see now, the only places they go to look for information, there's a curated view of the world that continues to show them what they expected already to see.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, everything matches. It's like, well, fucking, yeah, all your clothes match if all you buy is red clothes.
Yeah.
Go talk to Rajanishis about that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that shit fucking matches.
Yeah.
No fucking surprise, but look at your surroundings. When you reduce the context of your world, then the input is reduced.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And And there's this moment where one of these people is being interviewed by somebody from CNN. And they're having this conversation. And the person from CNN says, well, what is Q? And this person stumble fucks their way through some... it's an outline-ish of what Q really is. And if you're unfamiliar with what Q just sort of represents this top security person who is connected deeply with the government. And it could also be multiple people.
Some people say it's one person or ten people.
Yeah. And they're very connected to high levels of security in the government. They have these very deep connections. Either they're part of it or they know people that are part of it, allegedly. Yeah. And they post these questions and other things to the internet to let people know the things that they've found out, you know. And one of those things happens to be that Hillary Clinton, like, has a sex pedophile. Right. She has a pedophile. She's the head of a pedophile ring, or she's deeply involved in a pedophile ring. That's just one thing, but there's many, many, many things. Right. And so the person asks them, after they fumble fuck their way of trying to explain what Q is, he says, well, it's just, how do you know that it's just not, I mean, it's an anonymous person, so how do you know that they're, like, telling you the truth? How do you know that there's what they're saying is true? And the person responds with, how do you know that it isn't true? And I stopped and I thought, that is like the most simple thing you learn as a person who has paid attention to any kind of argument whatsoever. You learn that so early in life.
Yep.
You can't prove it's not true, but the burden of proof isn't on me. It's on you. You're making the fantastic claim. What is it that Carl Sagan said? He's like, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Yeah. You're the one who has to produce the evidence. You have the claim. The claim is Q is telling the truth. Prove it. It's your burden. It's not our burden. It's not anyone else's burden. I'll never be able to prove to you that it's not true, but your job is to prove to me that it is. It's a simple, I mean, it's very simple, and these people just miss it. And I would pass that off as just maybe this person isn't super bright, but he interviewed several people and they said all the same thing. How can you prove it's not true?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the, like, there's a Washington Post article, another one about this, where the guy interviews a Q believer.
Yeah.
And the guy says he describes himself as an academic, and the Washington Post reporter is like, well, tell me about that. He's like, well, not so much an academic as I am an armchair philosopher. And what he basically means is he reads shit online.
It's fucking this is University
the,
of Google.
That's it, right. Yeah. It's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. This is the, what the fuck was her name? Jenny McCarthy. You know, I went to the University of Google. I looked some stuff up online. I don't know how to differentiate between true things and untrue things. I don't know how to vet sources. Yeah. I don't know how to spot editorializing. I don't know how to examine people in terms of their motives and how motives might affect the truth that they offer. Like, these are not self-evident tools that people just naturally possess. And, like, they're getting suckered into this shit. And they're able to now band together. And that's going to create its own sort of force, its own sort of magnetism of insanity. Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing here with the Q shit.
They've banded together big enough where they're coming to Trump rallies, where they're getting stories printed in these papers, where CNN is interviewing some of these people, where there's enough of them in the crowd where they're standing behind Trump.
They have real-time, real-life visibility now.
Yeah.
But just like the fucking incels, right? Yeah. They have real-time, real-life consequences.
Yeah.
That occur because these insulated communities of fucking wackaloons now have an opportunity to self-reinforce and to gather momentum.
You know, what's interesting about this is people forget very recent history. And in very recent history, there was a thing called WikiLeaks. And that, do you remember Chelsea Manning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chelsea Manning went to jail. Chelsea Manning gave stuff to WikiLeaks at a high level of clearance, got stuff and gave it to WikiLeaks, and then went to jail for it. That information that, you know, like would be, you know, given out by these high levels of security or whatever.
Somebody
would find this person and know where that information is coming from.
But like
they're able to pinpoint people who leak shit to the press from Trump. You know what I mean? They're able to pinpoint those people.
But like, This they're never going to see that stuff. This is the same. What this really feels like is a 21st century version of the late 20th century Illuminati Masons New World Order conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
It is one sort of global answer that connects all these different things so that the world makes sense under this conspiracy theory in a way that, like, hey, there's all these different things happening. They're very difficult to understand. They become more difficult the more you dig into them. Some ways that people behave may not make sense at all. Those, the reality of how the world works, where it's complex and interwoven, but not necessarily always interdependent.
Yeah.
Like where there is a certain amount of chaos and randomness to the world. All of that's hard.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard to understand. It's hard to accept.
It's hard to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest things to say. So.
Well, and that's something that, like, when you read this Q stuff, one of the things that's very enticing from the articles that I read is, like, what they say, one of the common threads is, like, you know, this is an answer to all these questions that I have.
Yeah.
These people have questions about, like, how could this all be? And I'll admit, I've said it on the show, like, sometimes I feel a little sympathetic to that idea because I look around sometimes and I'm like, I feel like a crazy person in the world that we live in occasionally. I feel like, how can all of this be happening? I feel it about what I would consider to be, like, liberal causes, right? I look around and I'm like, how are we not fixing these problems? We have solutions and we ignore them, you know? But, like, I'm sympathetic to that idea that you look around the world and you feel like a crazy person because sometimes things seem like we should have fixed this and we are not. And so maybe there is something standing in the way. And it's hard to realize that what stands in the way most often is avarice and apathy.
Yeah, right. Well, what is interesting to this when we talk about conspiracy theories, right, and linking all those conspiracy theories together, what better person to be the object of their affection is Donald Trump?
Yeah.
There's no better person. Here's a guy who was a birther. Here's a guy who who's anti-vax. He has spouted off several conspiracy theories in the past. Yeah. And has, you know, he's the guy who released the JFK papers, you know what I mean?
I know.
To try to, like, I don't even know what.
Hey, remember when nothing came of that?
Yeah. Remember when nobody found anything in those? Yeah, that's why.
I know.
So, but he's a conspiracy theorist and he won't put the brakes on any of those conspiracy theories, even when proof is evident. No. And this again is very similar to the movement that's following
him. Yeah.
I want to read something out of this article. In a world in which QAnon believers live, Trump detractors, such as Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona and Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin, wear ankle monitors to track their whereabouts. Press reports are dismissed as Operation Mockingbird, the name given to alleged mid-century infiltration of the American media by the CIA. The Illuminati looms large in QAnon, as do the Rothschilds, a wealthy Jewish family vilified by conspiracy theorists as the leader of a satanic cult. Among the world's leaders wise to satanic influences, the theory holds, is Russian President Vladimir Putin. I mean, seriously, all this is missing is pulling off someone's mask and they're a lizard.
Uh-huh.
And it's David Icke.
It's the same thing.
It's David Icke.
It's the same shit. Yeah.
Part of me wonders if someone just read part of David Icke's book and is trolling these people using that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because it feels, you just read it and you're, when we read David Icke, when he's just like, yeah, they fucking kill babies because that makes their emotional vampirage.
Yeah. Feel, get stronger. It
gives them a fucking emotional vampire hard on or whatever.
Right.
And you're just like, yeah, that's the stupidest shit I've ever read. I've never read anything dumber than this. This is it.
This is the pinnacle of stupidity.
This is the pinnacle of the dumbest thing I've ever
Except
read.
Except for this is kind of worse because that's, like, self-evidently stupid to the point where, like, it's available purely for mockery.
Yeah.
And, like, this is a political force showing up to rallies for our current fucking president.
Well, what's crazy? Did you see the Hoover Dam thing?
No.
So this guy gets in a armored car.
I heard about
and
this.
He stops traffic for like 2 hours and holds up a thing in the armored car that says release these reports. And it's all related to this Q thing.
Yeah.
So this is already causing some things to happen in real life. Just like people showing up to a pizza parlor with a fucking automatic weapon or semi-automatic weapon.
But, you know, just like people harassing the Sandy Hook kids, you know, like just like people murdering other people, like the incels murdering other people, like, There's no, like, this idea that, like, that we can like hold at the gate the difference between like what happens online and like real life. It's a liar's idea. It's not true.
Yeah.
Like what we have to be aware of is like our behavior online is our behavior. It's not a separate set of behaviors segregated from the rest of the life because it's now part of real life. There is no meaningful distinction. Just like you would not make a meaningful distinction between, well, I said that on the phone. It wasn't real life. That's a silly thing to say. And we need to, and I think we are, we need to stop making that difference and that distinction and recognize like these are bad ideas. These are dangerous ideas. And we're more connected and people are more connected to share these ideas and foment that anger.
Yeah.
And it's having real world effects. So like we got to build some social tools and that's what's going to do it. We got to build some social tools to address this. I don't know what those are.
I don't know what they are either.
But most other behaviors get culled by the social group, right? Most of the time we're kept in line, I think, not by a series of laws, but most of our behavior is kept in line by rules.
Exactly.
So I have to think that eventually social rules will kick in.
There's no law that you can't be loud in a museum, but nobody is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Nobody is because the social rules say don't be loud in a museum.
Yeah, right.
And so the same thing may eventually happen here where there's no law that you can't post any of this stuff, but nobody's going to believe it.
Yeah. Right. And like it would.
And I think that's how it was for a while. At least that's what it felt like for a while. It felt like in the early days, those wistful early days of the internet and not even early days. We're talking, you know, in the 2000s, a little after, you know, maybe even all the way to like 2010. It felt like, you know, the internet is a good thing. It's a positive force, a democratization of information.
Right.
You know, people are able to see, you know, frauds for frauds and you know, truth for truth.
Right. And Arab Springs.
Yeah. And so. Now you're looking at it and you're like, there's people out there who just, they seriously can't tell the difference between what, they don't know what reality is.
Yeah. Well, it's like a fun house.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is like a fun house. Like, and there are people who are ill-equipped to walk through it.
Yeah.
This never happened. It will shock you how much it never happened.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. This right-wing watch, Liz Crokin, John F. Kennedy Jr. faked his death and is now QAnon.
So I want to point out that you guys can't see this video, but in the video, Liz is talking to someone else who is also standing in front of a painting. So, but that person doesn't talk or talks very little in this. So she's talking to someone, but they're essentially
just a listener.
So
let's just kind of go over that whole theory.
Yeah.
Because I've been following it really closely.
Following it by like Googling shit.
Yeah. Following it.
Is that how
closely.
We follow things
she,
now?
You think she knows what a theory is though?
Colloquially?
Colloquially. Oh yeah.
Oh yes, oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. That's but her entire.
Do I think that like when she follows a story, it's like I was browsing around on fucking 8chan and this came up a bunch.
This came up in my Facebook feed, guys.
I'm following it.
So I tweeted this theory months ago. I think it was an
April. I tweeted.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
I tweeted. Sorry. Yeah. I know.
Well, no,
seconds.
I mean, like, seriously, though.
I know.
Like that's how we get information now.
Like, you know, I'll tell you what. I read some random shit just browsing around, scrolling through fucking Instagram about this. And then I later fucking burped out 140 characters of fucking nonsense with a fucking owlie link attached to it. Because I'm a journalist and this is now research.
The journalists.
This is why the world is a pile of shit. Yeah.
My press credentials is like, it's like a fake made up badge. It's Liz Crokin. The Z is backwards.
Jesus Christ.
And okay, number one, when I'm over the target, and this is something that you know yourself because you've dealt with it, that's when I get the most slack, whether it's censorship on social media, like you deal with as well. But when I'm really over the target, there's a hit piece about me, like that's posted on one of these, you know, BS websites almost immediately.
Right.
Now in April, I shared a theory about John being alive and being part of Q. And when I first heard this theory, it just immediately resonated with me. I got goosebumps everywhere.
And that's how you know something is true. You know, like I know things are true if I'm cold.
Goosebumps.
if I'm reading R.L. Stein's Goosebumps series, that's how all those are true.
Oh my God.
They give me goosebumps.
Garsebumps.
Fucking goosebumps. It's just like, could you imagine walking through the world, Tom, and being like, oh, guys, my ears are ringing. Someone must be talking about me.
Yeah. Ooh, I got goosebumps. What was I just thinking about? It's true.
Oh, I should definitely park in
this
lot.
Want Chipotle. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, it's true. I got goosebumps. Oh,
I should buy that album on iTunes.
That's how truth is. You just, whatever gives me the goosers, you know, I got goosebumps.
I got goosebumps. We're listening.
I'm over the target.
We're listening to your getting goosebumps, and that's fucking somehow important.
Like, I would share that information. Like, I got goosebumps when that happened.
Seriously. Like, you know, it's like telling people when you had bowel movements.
I think, you know, I think I'm just going to decide.
Actually, that might be more important.
Well, I was going to say, like, I'm just going to decide on any bodily reaction and decide that.
Sure.
Every time I get an erection, a true thing. It's like every time I get an erection, an angel gets its wings or something. Detector. Right? That's my dowsing rod. Get over here.
I'm a very intuitive person. And usually when that happens, that's confirmation that there's truth to it. Right.
Oh my God. Are you fucking serious right now?
Yep. Oh yeah, buddy.
I'm super duper intuitive. And if I get goosebumps, it means it's true. You have spidey sense. What the fuck is happening, man?
I'm super intuitive. I know. And you know what? Every time I've
that
had an intuition,
new agey. That's all that means.
Every time I have an intuition, it's true because I just later decided that it was true.
Because I forgot all the misses.
She just makes up the hits though. It's not even as bad as that.
It's not, you're right. Cause the hits aren't even hits.
She just like, that's she's it's the most fucking circular shit ever. It's impossible for her to be wrong.
So true.
She can't. Her standard is true because I thought it was true. And that's how I know true.
And then I just made up this thing. So there's no verification on it whatsoever. So
oh my God.
And it's true because of my bodily functions.
And I felt compelled to tweet it. And I wrote in the tweet something along the lines of, you know, this is an interesting theory. I didn't state as fact that John F, you know.
But didn't you just say like it was a true thing because you got goosebumps?
Yeah, but and when she posted it online, which is, I mean, that's when this is where the responsibility in her journalism comes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So like, she knew in her hearty heart that it was true.
So her guidelines and standards are, did you get goosebumps? That's the first bullet point. Number
but
two, did you believe this on your tippy toes? That's number two.
Yeah. Look, it's
would
goosebumps.
You pinky swear?
But you don't say something is absolutely true unless you also experience vaginal dryness.
Yeah. Would someone double dog dare you? And if that's the case, then yes, it is a truth.
John F. Kennedy Jr. is alive. I didn't say anything as fact. I just said, this is interesting. And right after I shared this on Twitter, there was a hit piece written about me. And I'm thinking, that's really crazy. Like, why? That is so bizarre. I just tweeted a theory that wasn't even my own and said, this is interesting. And next thing I know, there's a hit piece written about me, like calling me names and saying I'm a nut, literally calling me a nut. And
you're kind of a nut. like, I mean, literally, really, let's just be honest here.
So that within itself made me think, like there's something to this. So since then,
didn't she already think, ooh, there's something to this? Then she tweeted it. Then somebody was like, that's crazy. And she's like, all the more reason to believe it.
So you say something outlandish. Someone says to you,
that's outlandish.
That's fucking crazy. And they're like, oh, I must be getting close. Someone said that was insane.
Can you imagine playing like hotter, colder with her? You'd be like, colder. She'd be like, that means hotter. You wouldn't say colder if you didn't want me to get closer to it. She'd just be walking in every direction at the same time.
I would do that, and I would tell her opposite directions to a wood chipper. That's what I would do.
And part of the reason why the theory resonated with me is because Q at one point said, you're not going to believe who you're talking to here. And when Q wrote that, I thought, it's going to be someone that's so crazy where, you know, even people that, like, are woke and know what's going on are going to be
woke. Woke.
Be like, oh my Lord, this is insane. And so, you know, it being President Trump, well, everybody knows President Trump's a part of it. So that's not shocking. You know, someone like...
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that President Trump is one of the Q.
Yeah. He is Q.
They should call this Borg, not Q. Yeah. They got this wrong, right?
It's part of the collective.
I know.
Totally makes sense. It's just now.
Q is the beautiful thing about Q is no matter assimilated. Who they eventually find out that it is, he was just one of them.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's perfect.
Yeah. Never
gonna find anybody. I know they won't because they don't even want to look. Nobody who could give a shit.
That's
they could find out tomorrow.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is that they're the only way that this gets, the only way that someone ever bothers to look into this is if it gets big enough to where like actually cause some sort of terrorist attack. Like if it causes some sort of really big terrorist attack in some
way. Yeah, then they'll just go find that
then
guy.
They're gonna, then they're going to probably start coming out and being like, guys, there's nothing to this. There might be an official opinion.
Like General Flynn, like that wouldn't be shocking, you know.
It wouldn't be shocking at all that he has no security clearance because he's fucking left the building at this point. What is he going to, that would be the most shocking thing in the world if General Flynn was fucking Q. Are you kidding me?
If it would be shocking if Q like actually had any actionable information.
Actual information, right. But you know, to be honest, like if General Flynn was somehow leaking information to the public, and
that
she's
would
like,
amazing.
That wouldn't be...
That would be scandal of the century.
Be crazy!
Well, it should be the scandal of the century. I don't even know if it would be the scandal
of
Tuesday.
Yeah, wouldn't even be like... Wouldn't even be in the top six, you know what I mean?
At this point,
of Friday. Yeah.
At this point, if there was another teapot dome scandal, people would be like, I like milk in my tea. What? Like, they don't even... wouldn't
about?
Even listen.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Seth Rich. Now, that would be shocking, because we all think he's dead. John F. Kennedy Jr. That would be shocking, because we all think he's dead. You know?
No, because he died. And that's why we think he's dead.
It was a plane crash. And
okay.
He's dead.
So, you know, and we all think he's dead for decades. Yeah. We think that.
We think he's dead because there was evidence of his death.
Like, he dies. He's like, I'm just going to wait until they invent the internet.
Yeah.
And then
biding his time, slowly waiting.
Someday they're going to invent the internet. And then when they do, but not right when they do, like many.
Yeah,
years like two
years
and a half,
after,
3 decades
many,
after the
many theater. Years after.
Then I'm gonna really
I'll reveal
heat
myself
up.
As,
but when I reveal myself, I really mean I'll stay in the shadows.
And us. What I wonder is how John gets to just walk into all these security clearance.
Oh, I'm John F. Kennedy Jr.
You're like, oh yeah, come on in, CIA meeting. Why don't you just sit right down here and
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
no worries. I'm dead.
Yeah,
but I'm not dead. It's a whole thing. Anyway. I'd like to see all your classified documents, please.
And bring a cup of coffee.
Maybe he's a ghost.
I like it, 2 sugars, 1 cream.
It has to be someone where we're all like, what the? And okay, so furthermore, when you, as someone who's a writer, who's not only written tons of articles, but wrote an entire novel, I study handwriting. And I'm really good at, you know, if one of my good friends has someone steal their phone and they text me, I'll know in one text that it's not them. I'm really.
You realize that's not handwriting.
You realize that handwriting.
Oh my God.
Is not electronic characters. That's like being like, you know, I love this hand done embroidery by this electronic sewing machine.
That's not handwriting.
Not hand done.
Well, they use the script font in. That's not hand.
It's not handwriting.
I study handwriting.
I study handwriting.
First of all, handwriting analysis graphology has long been debunked.
Yeah.
So that's not a thing.
So it's garbage.
Yeah. But also, that's not even what you referred to yourself.
And I could see totally right, like someone being able to know if someone stole. I think that's pretty easy. Like that doesn't even require a goosebumps level of intuition.
Yeah. Unless you're like, unless the response you're getting is okay or see you soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
it's pretty easy to be.
Any
like,
asshole could be like, "That's not how Cecil
that's
writes."
How I tell you, type like that. Yeah,
really good at reading handwriting and understanding handwriting.
It's not handwriting.
And what I've always kind of felt with Q's post is that I believe Q's a group of people. President Trump's part of it, but
and so is John and Flynn. Then
how are you going to study? What she's really talking about is studying whether or not the tone. Of each of these
posts is a different
thematically
person.
Consistent.
Is a different
right.
person.
Yeah.
It's anonymous.
It's more than one person. You could never tell.
It's an anonymous board. And I'm almost, I would bet everything I own that it's multiple trolls.
Yeah. it's some dude's like, I don't have time to make something up. I gotta get some more Totino's pizza rolls.
I don't think it's coordinated either. I think somebody is probably posting stuff and saying they're it, and then someone else will post and say they're it.
Right.
We could
go do it right now.
We could do it right now.
We could just, yeah. Like, does she not know that she could set up an account right now on some board somewhere and call herself QAnon?
And I think on a lot of these boards, you're just anonymous by default. Right.
So you just type anything and say, I am Q.
There's nothing that I'm pretty sure that's how 4chan.
You don't
works.
Even have I've, to have a username.
I've only briefly been on 4chan, so I can't be sure, but I'm pretty sure that they're all just anonymous posts.
It's not even username based.
You know, there's probably one main person who's Q who could be possibly John F. Kennedy Jr. The one thing that always struck me about Q's posts is the passion for John F. Kennedy Sr. And when I say passion, I'm talking the passion for JFK Sr. is so intense. I don't see how this passion could come from anyone that A, didn't know him. And
he was 4 when he died, or 3. How did he know him? He didn't know him. I don't even remember anything from before.
So
I was
many
5.
People are passionate about JFK.
Yeah, right?
Are you fucking kidding?
He was like American royalty or whatever.
Of all the fucking presidents we've ever had, he might be the one that people historically have been most passionate about.
Right.
It's like the worst example. It's actually the worst possible example. I don't know anybody could be passionate about JFK. I mean, really, who gives a shit about that guy? Oliver Stone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Q.
Oh, my God.
B didn't love him. Mm-hmm. And so you have to think about, well, who could that be?
Oh, my God.
Well, if John F. Kennedy Jr. was still alive, then that would make perfect sense. But
oh my God. I have a 4-year-old. If I die tomorrow, he will not know who I ever was. If I got hit by a bus tomorrow, my littlest boy, Eamon, will not know who the fuck I was. Yeah. He'll grow up with no memories of me whatsoever. He won't love dear old dad for the fucking 4 years, most of which he wasn't able to house long-term memories in his underdeveloped cerebral cortex. You fucking kidding me?
This is legit nutty.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. The only thing that would make it more crazy is if, like, one of these people at one point started peeling their face with like a fucking potato.
I know, right? Like,
and there's a lizard under it.
This is bath salts crazy.
And it really is.
On a scale from 1 to bath salts.
You know, JFK's alive. Guys, you know, guys.
Ready to stick it in the glory hole? Get links to their Facebook, Twitter, and if you still use it, Google+ account at their website, dissonancepod.com. If you need to be all discreet about it, contact them by email at dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a ransom message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Want to hear Cognitive Dissonance commercial-free and gain access to exclusive content, including full patron-only shows? Head to patreon.com/dissonancepod and become a patron to support the show on a per-episode basis. Love commercials? Not ready to become a patron? Give the guys a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Or tell your buddies in the drunk tank about the show. We want to send a big sloppy glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
All right, so it's from the Washington Post. Here we go, man. So this article presents an argument that Trump's most recent tweets, and I don't even know how to say most recent tweet,
yeah, I know,
and a show that will post in a few days.
Yeah.
And have that be meaningful, but in some tweets that have come out in the not too distant past, they are arguing in this article that those tweets may represent an obstruction of justice problem. They represent potentially an obstruction of justice problem because he said Mueller should be fired. Yeah. We got to stop this investigation.
Did he say should or shouldn't?
Which no one? Collusion.
No collusion.
He did so wrong again, didn't he?
No, but like. Is it should or shouldn't? Is it shouldn't be
should,
fired or should?
Should
or
wouldn't?
Shouldn't?
It's hard
it,
to know.
I don't know.
We'll have to wait for the correction.
We have to wait. Next week.
And
he's
see.
Like,
what
Giuliani,
I meant was.
Like, what he meant to say was.
I could see.
Because we have to fucking. This fucking president is like fucking rooster guts. Like, you gotta fucking divine what he's saying out of the.
Well, when he said one thing, what he really did was he meant the opposite.
Yeah.
My favorite Giulianiism recently was when he's like, look, there's been no collusion. But if there was collusion,
it might not be a crime.
It wasn't a crime.
Yeah.
My That, I mean, like, think about any other statement and just get rid of collusion. Like, my client did not commit that murder, but if he did, it was self-defense. Right?
There's a, I was watching like a Key and Peele skit the other day. They call the police and one of them standing there, he's saying, look, I just was coming by and this car just happened to be open. I was not breaking into this guy.
He's going on and on and on.
It's like, but maybe, let's just say hypothetically, there's a severed head in the trunk. I did not put that head there. I have no idea how that, but let's just say hypothetically, you know, that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, you're telling your wife, like, hypothetically,
right
now I didn't sleep around on you,
yeah,
but let's just say I might have.
Oral is not a crime.
Let's just say
oral is not cheating.
Let's just say I, you know, just for shits and giggles, let's say I did. Well, what would your reaction be? Like, how would you react?
But this is even like, this is more like, look, that chick did not suck my dick.
Yeah.
But if she did, oral is not cheating.
Oral isn't cheating.
It didn't happen, but if it did happen, it doesn't count.
Yeah. And I didn't finish in her, I finished on her face.
Right.
So it's
that's a different thing.
Is totally different.
It only counts. Yeah.
It's totally different. It only counts if you make it in the goal.
It's fucking crazy. Like, that's what I mean when I said before. Like, I feel like I'm a crazy person sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and the best part about this is that he's like telling Jeff Sessions, who's already recused himself to try to do something. It's like the recusal hokey pokey.
Well,
like, you put your recusal in, you put your recusal out. You put your collusion in and you shake it all about.
Would you or wouldn't you? It's also like he was bitching like, well, if I'd known he was going to recuse himself, I wouldn't have hired him. Yep, it's like, oh, you said that out loud.
They're actually saying like, again, some of these things are very damning to like, say things.
When
like
he said that, I was like, out loud.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. I would tell him to keep that to himself. And I want to see him impeached.
You know, what's really interesting about this whole thing is that these comments. He's his boss. Okay. He doesn't have to say anything about this on Twitter. He could just fire him. He could just tell him he stepped down. He can do things behind closed doors to get Jeff to step down or to fire him. You know, he can do those. He can fire him right now. He can fire him right now if he wants. But he's doing this on Twitter. And it's so he can always constantly appear like the underdog. So he can always whip up these people who think there's a deep state. He's doing it on Twitter for a reason. And the reason is so that he can have this, you know, he can do it behind closed doors. He has that power to do it behind closed doors, but he's doing it out in the open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a reason he's doing that.
Well, I think part of it is I think there's a recognition that if he fires Mueller, that's pretty damning. Like that's politically very troublesome.
Absolutely.
So what he's doing is the next better thing. And it's not the next, it's the next better thing, which is to discredit the possibility of Mueller finding anything true.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't matter what Mueller finds if his base doesn't believe it. And it doesn't matter what Mueller finds if the Republicans won't act on it and impeach him.
Yeah.
So as long as he can control the narrative before the narrative is told,
right,
then it actually makes no difference. This is smarter than getting rid of him, because if it comes out and then it blows up and then nothing happens, he can basically go back to that. I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and you guys would still like, look, I could collude with the Russians and you guys still love me.
Yeah.
No collusion wouldn't.
Well, he's basically, you know, in these, he's talking about Sessions. He can fire Sessions too.
Of course he can.
He can fire whoever he wants in this entire chain. He can get rid of any of those people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the part of me wonders though, too, is like, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, not only win his base over through these tweets and make it seem like he's this embattled president who's constantly dealing with all this bullshit, you know, garbage investigation that has no basis in reality, right? Even though there's been, you know, over a dozen indictments and, you know, there's been a bunch of people. There's currently a guy on trial that's some crazy damning shit is happening about, you know, with Manafort.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, even though that very true reality is happening right before their eyes, they're not willing to see it. You also have an opportunity for him to hand wave this shit away and be like, well, it's just a tweet.
Right.
It's just a tweet.
Because now that's because Justa is how we treat this.
I don't think so. I think in the future, we're not going to treat it.
I think so too. I think this is
setting a precedent.
I do too.
That in the future, I think, to be honest, this may be the one thing that really takes him down. It'll be very ironic if what takes him down are the porn stars and the Playboy bunnies that he paid to have sex with or paid to be quiet after he had sex with them. And the
I bet they were quiet the while he was having sex with them.
They're probably sobbing slightly. But you know, those are the things. That's going to be a really interesting thing to happen in our history if that's what takes him down. You know, there's another part of me too. And this goes back to the Q thing. When you see how people are so rabidly defending him mm-hmm. and, you know, that sort of thing. This would be, if he did, let's say, you know, he gets impeached or whatever happens, you know, like, let's say he gets impeached. It'll be really interesting to see the public's reaction, because I feel like there's going to be a large sector of the population who doesn't think that it's
legit. Yeah.
I think there might be some serious
civil unrest.
More than civil unrest. I mean, I think
there are serious conversations being had now that I read this week in legitimate publications that are not crazy, talking about, like, you know, is the stage being set for something approaching another civil war?
Yeah.
And I don't know that we're there yet, but I don't know that large scale civil unrest is impossible.
Right. Sure.
You know, I think that is possible.
Absolutely. I'll be perfectly honest. I think the worst thing that could happen is him being put up on trial and being impeached. I think he should be let to run his term out.
And then
should just be an election, and that's how it should work.
I agree with you in the sense that, like, that's the best solution for the country. Is he gets stymied at every attempt to accomplish anything.
Yeah, I hope that there's a huge blue wave. They're saying at this point, you know, clearly that should not be, you know, reading a story that says there's going to be a blue wave should not be you sitting on your laurels. Everybody should get out and vote. Everybody should get out and make sure that their voice is heard. And, you know, make sure that, you know,
I don't understand anybody that doesn't vote right now.
Yeah. But in any case, they're saying that all signs are pointing to a blue wave, a big blue wave, a really big one that's going to come in this upcoming election season, which will probably flip a lot of seats, change a lot of the landscape. And really could slow down government for the next several years.
The best that could happen is nothing happens.
And it really is what they were shooting for with Obama.
Right.
It's what they were shooting for with Obama was, let's just deadlock this fucker. This guy's too dangerous for me.
I said, who's that guy on the other side of the glory hole? It's Jesus.
So the story I wanted is from the Friendly Atheist season. I wanted to talk about this because it's just so self-evident. Catholic nuns are speaking out about their own abuse at the hands of priests. And when I read this story, you know, my very first thought was, yeah, this is an organization that can't agree to protect children.
Sure.
How the fuck are they going to protect grown women?
Well, maybe the problem was in their bylaws. Maybe what it said is something like, we're going to limit your sex to none. And they're just like, oh, great, we got a bunch of those. They're in the back, right? No worries.
That was a good joke.
I will say this though, too. It sort of matches.
Limited to none.
It sort of matches, to be perfectly honest. It sort of matches, like, how I see priests, because I used to work for priests.
Yeah.
And their whole life is taken care of for them.
Right.
Like they're very pampered. They don't think about sort of the day-to-day stuff that you have to do to live. Everything's taken care of for them. You know, and so that concept of, like, we've provided a, you know,
yeah, here's a nun here's for a your service. For,
here's a thing for you. Here's something for you. It'd be like if they left a fleshlight on your bed. You know? It's the same thing.
Okay, Father, we've turned down the bed.
Yeah.
And we've left you a little something on the pillow. Oh, is it a mint? Oh, it's not a mint.
It's not a mint. No.
No, it's a nun. That's the joke. It's a nun.
But yeah, they can't even protect other people's kids.
This is an organization that does not give a shit about the sexual abuses of its clergy.
Sure.
And they're like, the idea that anybody would be surprised, like, the only surprise here is that, like, because they're talking about, like, a nun version of Me Too.
Me Too,
you know? And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like at some point, like the organization has shown itself to be so indifferent
and also
to the sexual suffering of other
and
people.
Also, let's just say misogynist. Can we just say that? Like, I mean, like women in that religion are not allowed to, they're not equal to priests. Priests are
not even close.
They can't do the same things that priests
do. They can't perform the sacraments.
They can't rape kids like priests can.
but they can beat them with rulers and shit, right? They can frustratedly beat them
if they want. There's also...
I haven't had an orgasm in 36 years, you little fucker!
It's so mad. But they're seriously like they just treat women and look at how they treat reproductive issues. You know what I mean? Like it's just a misogynist organization. Like let's just
far
call
and
it what it is, you know? And
there's
so,
nothing like gender progressive about the Catholic Church.
And so the idea that there would be some safe place in the Catholic Church that these women could go to is absurd in itself.
Right.
There's no safe place for the kids to go. There's no glue that they can touch and not get fucked. Right.
Well, it's like I'm on glue. You can't rape me right now. I'm on glue.
You have to say ollie ollie oxen free before you fuck me.
Why did you rape her? It's just a habit.
Yeah, it's just that's so bad. It's awesome. I love it.
I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence.
This is amazing. This is Right Wing Watch. Alex Jones travels the spectrum of human emotions over Spotify boycotts. I have to say, like, I do think that we might see the total implosion of the InfoWars empire thing.
Well, you were saying like that he's now being sued.
Yeah, he's in suit. Like they're trying the case currently. So it's not just like in the works and going to sit and languish forever. Some of the Sandy Hook parents have banded together and they're like, we are going to eat you.
Yeah, good.
And they are.
I can't say enough good things.
Oh,
about
I know.
That, though.
I'll be perfectly blunt, and you know I don't advocate violence, and I don't advocate this. But I would not be surprised, nor would I evince any sorrow if one of those parents,
like,
just
disgruntledly
shot this guy.
I, you know, like,
I'm sorry. I don't. They shouldn't do it. Don't do it. I'm not saying do it, but. I'm surprised that it hasn't happened.
You wouldn't wear a shocked face.
Right. I'd be like, well, how could that have happened? Yeah, I'd be like,
what could he have possibly done?
Right.
Like he is saying the most monstrous, vile shit about those people.
Yeah.
Just to say things like, you're a liar about the death of your own child.
Yeah.
That's a monstrous, horrible, shitty thing to do. And so the very fact that he's getting run over the ringer for this, I'm like, absolutely, man. He said vile, awful shit.
Yeah, and he's saying like it's protected under his free speech. And it's like, it is protected under your free speech in the sense that the government cannot step in and stop you.
That's exactly.
That does not change whether it's defamatory.
That would be awesome if it's your defense and within first 15 seconds, the judge is like, yeah, that's not a... You
right,
can't,
yeah, no. Next, what else you got?
Is that what we're doing here? Because if that's what you wrote in your answer, then I guess we're just going
to
let
There's not enough puffy paint in the world to make me believe this book report.
I don't even know what to say at this point. Because
that's Podesta. He's showing an image of Podesta and Hillary Clinton, by the way. And a really awkward, weird, like, chin sunken into her face. Like, she's moving her head out of the way to maybe give him a kiss on the cheek, and she looks like she's having an Irma Gerd moment. like, they find these terrible photos of all these people. Like, Trump, too. All the
I
time.
Love it. Yeah. I love because it's like, these are the most photographed people in the world, and they're so poised so much. And then they're just like, they're like burp or so, like just move their body. It's like, I captured you in a millisecond where you look like you're covered in centipedes or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so great. It's so great.
I've run my course, not with the censorship and the attacks, but I just belong to some other age, I guess.
The stone one?
Yeah.
I think the stone one.
Age.
Stone age?
The Iron age?
Yeah.
Bronze age?
Because there isn't any immediacy. There isn't any concern. There's just kind of jellyfish brain.
You know, what's you listen to this guy's voice.
I do.
And I know that my voice sounds deeper in my head than when I hear it on here. I always like, I'm like, geez, I'm squeaky as fuck when I hear myself talk.
Right? But how deep is his voice sound exactly. in his head?
Can he hear his own voice?
He probably sounds like a diggery dude to himself. He's like, burr, burr, burr. Like he's
everything I say sounds like the fucking explosion of Krakatoa.
Everything you say sounds like fucking that guy from Inspector Gadget. I'll get you next time. Fucking guy. Everybody's that guy.
I speak only in landslides.
it sounds like Froggy from the Little Rascals.
Hey guys, how you doing? I used to have such strong hands.
Where initiatives mean nothing. Like, we have total illegal censorship going on. We have them bragging about it. We have them dead to rights. No one will attack.
He's looking around his office as if someone is going to jump out and save him. I think he's talking about him getting taken down from YouTube and Spotify and Facebook. Basically, people are just saying, we're just going to take your shit down.
Like, and the thing is, like, they're not even removing all of his content. It's selective when one video violates his terms of services.
He can get around this. All he has to do is post all this content on his own website with his own...
Well, yeah.
Like, and the reason why he's not going to do that, the reason why he doesn't want to do that is because he's going to lose a ton of people who won't go to his site just to see this shit. They go to YouTube to find
it. That's not censorship. That's the thing that makes me crazy.
Like, that'd be like if somebody were like, we're going to take your shit off iTunes, be like, okay, that we might lose a lot of listeners from that, but we can still do what we were doing.
Right. It's like saying like, I'm going to have 100 people over to my house next week. Come over to my house and stand on the soapbox and yell about stuff. But you can't yell about like hating black dudes. Because if you do that, I'm going to kick out of my house. Now you can still go back to your house and yell about hating black dudes.
Yeah.
But there's no one at your house because your house sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you come over and you yell about fucking hating black dudes and I kick you out of my party, I didn't censor you.
Yeah.
It's just not allowed in my house.
I just disinvited you.
Right.
And that's what they did to his videos.
Right.
They disinvited them.
And then I'm being totally shut down because we're writing reports and getting it to Congress and they're beginning to act. I'm not that damn smart. You know how easy this is? Jesus. But no one wants to do it. No one has the instinct or the will to execute anything real.
He is losing his shit right now.
Is he on a pogo stick? I got to watch him do this again. Tom.
Oh my God.
Let's watch this again.
Reports are getting it to Congress and they're beginning to act. I'm not that damn smart. You know how easy this is? Jesus. But no one wants to do it. No one has the instinct or the will to execute anything real.
This looks so crazy with his crazy eye right now.
He
looks like he got punched.
So what it looks like when he looks straight ahead, it looks like one of his eyes is a little more closed than the other. Because when he looks towards you, Tom, when he looks to his left, the eye, you can see the white. But when he looks straight ahead, it looks like it's full of blood.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think he's got a swollen, shitty, fucked up eye.
Yeah.
And he looks like somebody fucking took one to
him. It does look like somebody took a swing at him.
Over and over and over again. Begetting the failure, begetting it as the public begins to look like servile hippopotamuses.
Wait, what? Wait.
Dude,
whoa.
Come on.
Servile hippopotamuses?
You know hippos. They'll be like, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? Is there any way I could walk really far underwater for you if you want?
Hippos are so servile. Come on.
Of all the animals,
in the animal kingdom, they
are the most servile.
Yes, that's how most people familiar with the hippo would describe them.
They bite you and have to like, you don't mind if I do this.
I'll bring you a spot of tea and then
I was trying to think of funny stuff hippos do, but they're boring. They're a boring animal.
Hippos only do three things.
Yeah.
They eat, they fuck, and then they are responsible for more deaths in Africa than any other animal.
Yeah.
They're the least servile animal. Yeah. It's a worst example.
It's like
bottomized. And you're like, oh, well, just join the establishment. It sees the establishment's feeding on the subhumans. Oh, let me look at the establishment are like a bunch of crazed vampires on PCP. I sure as hell don't.
What is he talking about?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Play that whole thing again.
I can't.
It was amazing.
What is he? Go from hippos forward.
Failure, but getting it as the public begins to look like servile hippopotamuses. Lobotomized. And you're like, oh, well, just join the establishment. It sees the. And then, the establishment's feeding on.
It sees the what?
Well, no, but he started out with lobotomized, and then he switched to, and then it sees the establishment. And then he stops in the middle. He shifts course like a servile hippo in the middle of this.
What?
The subhumans? Oh, let me look at the establishment are like a bunch of crazed vampires on PCP. I sure as hell don't want to join them.
Well, I do. That sounds amazing.
That does sound good.
By the way,
I saw Blade.
That's baller.
I saw Blade and that party with the blood coming down and the butcher shop. Amazing.
I would rip that thing a half.
Amazing.
That would be phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. They're playing that song and they're like all dancing.
Their light switch raving.
Their light switch raving. It's fucking amazing.
We're going to go down the tubes because a bunch of inbred child molesters in Hollywood had some psychotic dream that they wanted to kill everybody. And so we all just rolled over by peer pressure and gave into it and never executed anything real, never did anything real, never took action when all the tools were right there in our hands because we weren't meant to. We couldn't do it. We didn't want it. You've betrayed your birthright to your family.
Now he's reflecting on his divorce.
Oh, my God. My fucking favorite thing in the world is the fake affected man cry.
He looks like every time he does it too, because he recovers so quickly, you're just like, you're faking it.
That's what I mean. Like it's the manipulative man cry.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like totally manipulative. Yeah.
To everything people did for you.
Yeah. You're going to hear it in the voice.
Yeah.
It's the same voice for every liar ever.
Exactly. It's the same voice. He's just, he's trying to squeak it out.
This is what it sounds like. When I give my father's eulogy, like, come the fuck on.
You piss on it and you shit on it. And you think you're strong because you did something bad.
Wait, what?
Well, I don't know what he's talking about.
I think I'm strong because I did something bad.
You piss on it and you shit on it and you think you're strong because you did something bad. I'm getting that as a tattoo on my back. This man's a poet.
That's a ball sack tattoo. That's what that is. When I get my ball sack tattoo.
If you're going to do something bad, you might as well get a ball tattoo, right?
I mean, you got to get one, right? Everyone gets one when they're 45. You've gotten yours, right?
There's a TV show in Britain that they show on, I don't know if you saw, but Joel McHale has his show on Netflix. So Netflix has a Joel McHale show.
Is it good?
It's like the soup. It's funny sometimes. It's not always funny. He doesn't have a good editor. So sometimes there's like one skit that they keep doing that is really not funny. It's like their producer comes out and it's just genuinely not funny. But there are some very funny, genuinely funny moments. In this show, they show some British shows. And there's a show in Britain where you and I go to this thing and then I pick your tattoo.
What?
And you pick my tattoo. Mm-hmm. And people do crazy shit. Like one guy had it when they pull the blindfold. You don't get to see him doing it either. So like,
do they pick the place too? Do I pick the place on you?
The place and the thing. And so you get a blindfold and I have no idea what the show is called, but I'll get a blindfold. They'll tattoo me. And then when they're finished, they take the blindfold off and they put me in front of a mirror and I get to see it. And this one guy tattooed on his friend on his belly button, a woman bending over and that was her
asshole.
It's really actually funny as hell.
And then another person.
It's so classy. Had another one. These two girls went and one of them tattooed on them. I guess one day this woman had to go to the bathroom and she couldn't hold it and she shit outside. And so she tattooed the girl taking a dump with poo coming out of her butt. And it's on her back now, like,
oh, no.
Really big, like, not like small.
Why would anyone be on this show?
I have no idea. It's crazy to me.
How much money do you get for being on this show?
I don't know what it's called. But they play it on the Joe McHale show on Netflix. And every time it comes on, I'm always just like, this is insanity. I don't care if they were to give me gobs of money either. Could you imagine taking your shirt off and seeing the girl with her asshole and you could finger her asshole though? I mean, can you imagine? You can't even imagine that. There's no, what sum of money is like, yeah, okay. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
That's more than a TV show would give you. That's for damn sure.
No, I mean, like, it's because whatever that sum of money is, it has to factor in the cost to have that laser tattoo.
Exactly.
Removal.
Right. Yeah.
Because the first thing you do is you buy 6 shirts that you wear at all times. Yeah. Right.
And then you just go to the
be like,
cheese grate this off.
Right.
Here?
You're just like, I am sleeping in your office until this is gone. I know it takes months.
Oh,
I live here now.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it.
I'm just going to be doing Skype calls from here up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
You think you're strong because you did something bad?
then you sit there when we're 2 inches away from collapsing like Venezuela. There'll be death in the streets, millions starve to death. It'll never be on the news.
There are millions of people starving in the streets. Who would care if it was on the news? You would just go to the street. I mean, like, I don't need... What the fuck? I might be one of the starving people.
Yeah,
I would be like, I don't know if I'm starving unless I watch it on CNN. Like,
I report on CNN. I just opened my window. There's 10,000 people dying.
Oh, hang on, Cecil. I can't hear you. Wolf Blitzer is calling to tell me I'm hungry.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, this story is from the New York Times. I laughed until I cried reading it. Trump says you need an ID to buy groceries. And this is like one of those, like, I'm so rich, I don't understand how the world works for regular people.
It's amazing.
And like, let's just make sure that like, it's not taken out of context. Here's what he said. You know, Mr. Trump knowingly told the approving crowd, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card. You need ID. And that is not the case. Like, you can just have money.
Just, you know, what's amazing is this is him telling his story where he's just like, so then I get into my automobile and I
engage the drive shaft.
Drive it. Down to a grocery store. Then I presumably get out of the grocery mobile.
And then I have sometimes a hard time fitting inside the cart.
And then I get a basket? Cart? I get a cart. It's like he's being tested on this, like orally tested.
Right. It's one of those moments where it's like, okay, I know how this works. I'll relay a story. Yeah. You may remember this. Many years ago, I used to have to go to a work function. And part of that work function required me to play poker.
Yeah,
do you remember
this? Yeah.
And I hate any kind of forced corporate fun. As soon as I have to have corporate fun, I'm in an awful mood.
It's not to say you don't like poker. It's just that you don't want to have to do it with these guys.
And so I had never played poker before. And I did not know how to play poker. And it was made clear to me that I was going to have to sit up all night and drink and smoke and play poker. This was just how this night was going to go. You have to go whether you like it or not. So, okay, fine. So I listened to a podcast on the way up on how to play poker. And then I stood around the table buying people drinks for about an hour, watching everybody play poker. And then I was like Trump at the grocery store when I got dealt in. I'm like looking around for signs of subtle approval. Am I dealing in the right direction? Oh, nobody said anything. Great. It goes right to left in this game. And then it's like, you're the big blind. Okay. That means pause, think, look, watch somebody reach. You know what I mean? It's like you're doing that thing where you're looking for cues because you're the fucking odd man out. Yeah. You're a space alien trying to pretend that you're a human being. You're like, do the arms go like this? You know, it's like I've been there.
From Men in Black.
Men in Black. And we've all had situations
weird
like that.
Body. But there's nothing more analogous to Trump body
than that.
A cockroach in
a human body.
Yeah, exactly.
But the funniest thing is like, there's a video of him like shopping at a grocery store and people that know him are like, he's never been to a grocery store.
Why would he? Right. Here's the thing. Shopping's annoying. If I could pay another human being to do it and I had the money to do that all the time, I would do it all the time. But on occasion, I do.
I was gonna say,
Peapod.
I do it. Yeah. We shop exclusively through Peapod. That's just because I don't like it either.
Yeah.
If I was a billionaire, I would have somebody naked shopping for me. I would just pay the extra and be like, shop naked.
Yeah.
Because it amuses me.
I used to do Peapod in Chicago because going out shopping is just a pain in the ass. Unlike you, where you could just pull into your driveway and walk in with your bags, I got to walk a block with the groceries regardless, right? Because I parked down the block. So just trying to get groceries is a pain in the ass all the time. It sucks. I now shop out in the suburbs because the prices are so cheap. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. but you know, it's funny because it's like shopping is a hassle. And I could understand someone being like, yeah, I don't shop. I never shop.
No, I was a billionaire. Yeah.
If I was a billionaire, I would never think about what goes into my body.
Just things would happen. Yeah. And I'd be like, that's in there now. Like, who cares?
Yeah. There would be a person to cook, prepare, buy,
wash,
my pillows.
Yeah.
I would live in a hotel, basically.
That's like what he does. Fatted.
Yeah, I know. He's got a whole brand based on that. That's what he would do. But instead, he's like, hey, fellow kids, I know what it's like to be a kid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Hey, any of you kids know where I could get the reefers?
He's in the grocery store. There's a video. He's in a full suit and tie and everything with all these other dudes in suits and ties standing around a grocery store.
They've never been in one ever. They're like, this is novel.
They could just... So
this is where the plebs get their food. So what, does somebody come out and just throw it at them? How does that work?
This says refried beans. Yeah. How many times can you fry a bean? We're going to need an expert. And like, he's holding a can of some food.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like Campbell's or something. Yeah.
It is amazing because like the article even says he's holding it. What does it say? Like the
he's marveling at it. Yeah.
And like we clicked on it and he's seriously looking at this thing like food in a can. Wow, we live in a magical age.
What are they going to think up next? Huh, Ivanka? What do you think? Food in a can tonight?
You can put corns in here?
It's fucking unbelievable.
It's so funny.
It's the most out of touch shit you could possibly imagine.
But it's our fault. You know that that's our fault because of our insistence that we hire somebody who's like us. They got to be relatable. It's got to be somebody you want to have a beer with.
He's not relatable, though.
But that's that moment. Is he's trying to be relatable.
Yeah.
He's just failing so delightfully miserable.
Right. I guess I guess that's true. But there was that idea with Bush too. With Bush, where it was just like, he's a guy I could have a beer with. He's a fella guy I could just have a beer with.
Jesus, it's amazing.
It really is amazing.
If you guys get a chance to watch the video of him looking at a can of food.
Or giving the thumbs up while he's pushing his cart around, you have to do it.
Wheels on a cart?
So we want to thank our newest patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons. We want to thank our newest patrons, Sawyer, Paul, James, Ben, and Jesse. Thanks so much for your generous donations. You guys are the reason Glory Hole Studios exists. If you want to become a patron on a per episode basis, you can go to dissonancepod.com. There's a button right there. You can become a patron. We are hopefully going to be starting to do some more patron-only stuff in the future. We did a Discord thing recently where we were broadcast directly on Discord.
Yes, indeed.
And that turned out to be a lot of fun. We recorded it and we posted it just for patrons. It was a Pastor Manning bit we had done. This was relatively recently. We're hoping to do another one soon. We still have the Citation Needed live show that's coming up. It's actually going to be coming up this week. So we're quite busy with that. But once that's over, we're going to be definitely doing another Discord thing. We might be doing a whole patron-only show soon. So if you want to become a patron, you can get access to all our old patron-only shows too. Just go to dissonancepod.com and you can become a patron today. So this message is from... Mosh, and Mosh sent in a call to prayer. That's a new take. That's a totally different take. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody do that particular thing.
That was a good one.
That was really innovative.
And that was from Dubai.
Yeah.
So we will mourn your passing. Yeah.
Don't just hide from everyone.
Don't.
Get in your bunker.
Delete your computer.
We got a message from James from the UK and he sent this in. It's an image.
It's so good.
Jesus image. We're going to post it on this week's show notes. This is episode 427.
Oh my God.
This isn't a call to prayer. This is just a clip, a bumper. Possibly to use with Dave Dobenmeyer. This is from Jeff.
Put your penis in the rectum. Put your penis in the rectum.
Jesus Christ.
Put your penis in the rectum. Put your penis in the rectum. Put your penis in the rectum.
And the cum shot goes like.
Jesus.
That is something else.
This is our life now, Cecil.
Something else, Jeff. So, Tom, there's a correction, a slight correction from Adam.
Yeah, Adam, we were joking about Babylonianized and Judaized. Evidently, that's a thing. So Judaized is talking about a group of people in the New Testament who want the Christians to follow Jewish customs. And Babylonianized is a period in the book of Daniel where the Babylonians took the Jews into captivity and then basically inundated them with Babylonian customs and lifestyle. So it's to lessen the importance of Judaism in their lives.
All right. Well, I guess it's a...
All right. That's a thing.
It's a thing.
So we were mocking it, but it's a thing.
It's a real thing. So thank you very much, Adam.
Yeah.
We also got another slight correction. This is from Chuck, and Chuck was saying, you can't just shut off the internet, but one of the things you can do, especially if you're a totalitarian government, is disable ISPs. And if you do that,
you know, you can, and you can also censor. Another thing that you can do is censor internet that, that people are right. allowed
and China
to
does
access.
That.
China does that and things like that.
North.
So, well, yeah. So, so there's a, there is something to be said. We were joking around about, you know, the someone turning off the internet, but there are ways to manipulate the internet that you get.
Sure.
So this is a call to prayer. This is from Aubrey.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Let me tell you a little story about a man named even before you start.
I love it. A little Dr. Evil going on there. Great stuff. Huge fan of that movie. I am. Huge fan. Seen it.
Ones of times.
We got two calls of prayer from Zach.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Ah, the Wilhelm scream. I love it. There's another one too. A little song by Coolio you may recognize.
Allahu Akbar.
Nice. I embarrassingly like that song.
That song's a good song. It's fun. We got a message from someone who left a very long sort of voicemail for us, but it was sent via email. I want to say, look, I'm happy to play people's stuff. I'm happy to play, especially things that are something like a voicemail. I'm more than happy to play them if they're sent like as voice memos to us via email, because sometimes those are much better and much easier to hear and understand than the voice message that we allow listeners to leave voice messages on. What I can't do is give you more than about a minute. So if you're ever thinking, you know, I want to call the show and I want to talk about something, be concise, be fast, and keep it under a minute, and chances are I'll play it. But if you wander into, even I don't care how good it is, if you wander into the minute and a half, 2 minute territory, I just can't dedicate that much time on the show for it. So if you want to leave us a message and you want to send us a message, we'll happily play anything, you know, a lot of the things that you want to leave us. You just got to make sure that they're short, punchy, and to the point. And we will get 2-3 minute messages. Some people will leave a 3 minute message followed by a 3 minute message followed by a 3 minute.
It's never going to happen.
The most that we can record on the voicemail is a 3 minutes, and we'll get 9 straight minutes of someone telling us stuff. I can't use any of that. We got a message. This is from Adam, and Adam sent along 2 videos. We're talking about the privileged middle-class people complaining to the apocalypse. And it reminded him of Catherine Tate sketches. So we're going to post 2 of these Catherine Tate sketches to our episode. This time it's 427. We got another slight correction. Last time we mentioned the fairness doctrine, but there was also 2 separate rules. This is from Keith, and Keith says that there was the fairness doctrine and the equal time rule. And the fairness doctrine was indeed revoked by Reagan in the Reagan era, but it's doubtful it'd be useful were it still around today, as it only covered broadcast stations and not cable networks. So that's very interesting. Thanks for the correction, Keith.
Yeah, thank you.
Got a call to prayer. Now, this one was submitted, but I think I missed it last time. Maybe they missed the boat in December, or I missed it last time. But this is a call to prayer from Justin.
An engineer on that long black train, making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride.
God.
The payoff on that one is painfully near the end of some really bad music.
Oh, God.
So we got a message from Danny, Tom.
We did. And Danny sent us a very long email about the difficulty of getting medications in a world where the opioid crisis is being treated like a war against patients. And we just wanted to shout you out, Danny. So thanks for listening. Glad to have you. Keep listening, keep your chin up.
And we hope everything good turns out good for you. Got a message from Nick. This is a call to prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Yeah, man. Generic punk music time.
Bad Religion. It's what he said. Bad Religion. You're, I guess I said it was Rancid. But
they all sound the same. They all sound like that generic punk sound.
It sounds similar. This is another one from Mosh. Mosh sent in another one. This is a call to prayer.
I like this one. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Nice.
I like this one.
That's clever.
I like that one.
That's a great one.
That was cleverly done.
That's a good one. We wanted to mention, we had Chris Matheson on. He did The Trouble with God, a new book that just came out recently. That's now available on Audible. We wanted to mention it because we just had him on very recently. So if you're looking to listen to that book rather than read it, you can find it on Audible now. We got three calls to prayer from Garrett. So I'm going to play all three of them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah. Comes back at the end there. Nice.
Nice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu
Akbar, Allah.
I like this one.
Oh, and we've gone for a long time.
Oh, that's good.
Good stuff. Last one. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Oh my God. Becky, look at her.
That's, I like that. That's good. I like that one a lot. So that's going to wrap it up for this time. It's our hope to have someone in studio next time. Maybe the Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, a couple of the Puzzle and the Thunderstorm guys. We'll see if that comes to fruition. We're going to be doing a live show next week. We're going to be very busy, but hopefully we can have a chance to do that with them. They'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death in towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.
Thank you.